Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 546. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
I'd just like to say to both of you from the bottom of my heart, fuck Resident Evil.
You're like, Tony's still you're anticipating the still suffering bitter. You're about to go through.
I know what's about to happen, and I dread it. But I'm here anyway, guys. I am here.
I just picture you looking at your phone, rolling your eyes.
Yeah, Resident Evil, not a Tony game. Jeff is here, though.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely a Jeff game.
And, yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about Resident Evil, a little bit about Baldur's Gate, Dark Alliance, and then maybe a couple other things if you guys got anything. But
I played that Pokemon.
Oh, the Pokemon Snap.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's get the big one out of the way so Tony can then...
Random Expressway.
Yeah.
That's right. Railway Entree. Yeah, yeah. I'm just going to come up with a bunch of different RE names.
Resident Evil Village, or 8, is out. Jeff and I have been playing it. Jeff has finished it. I am near the end.
Are you?
I mean,
it's good that it's so short that we only need to talk about it for like a show or two, and then it's gone forever.
What if it pulls a Ghosts and Goblins, and you gotta like play through it again?
I don't think that's gonna happen. I mean, one, like all the discourse around the game prior to it coming out was that it was short. Like, I don't necessarily consider a 10 to 12 hour game short, but
you know what's funny is like. With Resident Evil games specifically, and a lot of them are shorter than this one, even though they're short, they like don't feel short to me. Does that make any sense? I felt like I think my final runtime on this was 9 hours and 15 minutes. It felt like I played like a 25-hour game. Like it feels like a full meal.
I wonder if some of that is also not all of them, but some of them are draining experiences. They're just like, because they're tense and
maybe over that.
There's a little bit of physical effort that goes into playing these sometimes. Not all the time. Like some of them just are, you know goofy shit or whatever. But these last two have kind of they're a little bit more tense than your normal Resident Evil. I'm not sure I'm going to go so far as say that they are scary. There are parts that are, but
I think that this one is pretty scary. I guess we could get spoilers on that because you've gotten through the parts I thought were scary.
Yeah, which I don't think I thought that they. I think I thought other parts were scary, and you did not.
Okay.
Specifically, you're talking about like the second area, right? Where
the second area, and like this is with the caveat that like. It wasn't like I was like, ooh, like, you know, it's just right. Like I'm judging it as a person that likes horror, and I'm going,
it's unnerving, yes,
scary, you know, yeah.
It's a, I mean, if I've heard other people can like liken it to PT, which I could see in a way, like they take away all your weapons in that area, and it's puzzles, and you're walking down like very constricted hallways. There's no real enemies in that area, at least for like 90% of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I could see how it's a bit unnerving. It's a there's a good tone to that one, but I personally don't find the horror mechanic that they were using there, the horror trope. I don't particularly find that super creepy, but. For me, it's like the first area has like after, well, not the first area because this game has a shitty opening.
Yeah, why don't we start from the beginning? I think you and I were both like not liking this game to start off. Like I was like very upset with it and. I just hate games that, like, interrupt you with the narrative too much when you're trying to play. Like, the narrative kept interrupting the early portions of this game. And it's just like, okay, man, when do I get to play the game? Like, I would play for 2 minutes and then someone would grab me and get in my face and start talking to me for 5 minutes. And then I get to play for a minute again. And then something else scripted would happen. Like the first, like at least the first hour, it felt like the first 2 hours at least felt very scripted and narrative heavy. And so it was like, all right, man, when are we going to settle into the gameplay experience? That's my first impression of the game. And I was like, I was not liking the game at all.
Yeah, so. It takes a long time to settle into that, you know, where you're actually playing the game. Like, it's very much like, oh, you get to the village and like you wander around a little bit. It gives you a little touch of that, but then like you get attacked and you can't really do anything. That's
it. Does.
Oh, I hate it. I hated that part where you get attacked by the werewolves at the beginning.
So there's an opening, like the very opening here. Yeah. That is like trying to be reminiscent of Resident Evil 4. And I think that like it's nowhere near as intense as Resident Evil 4 felt. I don't know.
And then I didn't love it. But like I you get to a point in that opening as well that it's like it kind of like gives you this, hey, like defend yourself, survive against these oncoming creatures or whatever. And ultimately it's not even that. Like you'll eventually like last long enough or go for too long, yeah. And it'll trigger a scripted event.
Exactly.
And so it's like, why did I just wasted all this ammo? I ran around like, which puts you at a disadvantage not too far into the future. Cause you don't have all that stuff that you had just collected.
Yeah.
And it's really not until after you kind of get captured at the Lady Dimitrescu's castle and you escape there where you can finally kind of start moving around and it becomes a Resident Evil game.
Starts proper. I mean it's not as long as like Twilight Princess's opening, but it's like verging into that territory, you know what I mean? Like it took so long.
I think the difference between this and Twilight Princess, though, right, is like, you know, I mean, I guess it's still about the, no, it's probably more. So this is a 10, 12 hour game. You're talking like almost 20% of the game is that opening. You know,
and Twilight Princess is doing 4 hours of a
40, 50 hour game. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd say minimum 40 hour game. Yeah. So, yeah. But. I, you know, just to get that out of the way, my first impression was bad. You know, my overall impression of this game was I liked it a lot. Like, I really enjoyed it. You know, you're not done with it yet, but like, how are you feeling about it now that you're you know, you're far, you're deep into it?
Yeah, I'm liking it more.
Yeah,
I like the variety in the areas. Like, there are there's not, I wouldn't call them biomes, but there are definitely like they split this game up very quickly into like you have to beat these four bosses each of the four bosses has like a different area that you explore. You know, Jeff and I kind of padded around the second area and then like they each have like, and they're all very different, they all fit within the realm of this game, but they all are very different and different styles.
Yeah, like so it's like not only is each area like very, you know, it's like a very different environment, but it's kind of touching on different parts of the series, I felt like. So when you get to the first proper area, the castle feels very classic Resident Evil, I think.
Oh yeah, and I love
probably my favorite part of the game.
Yeah, that's like, I was like, oh, this is Resident Evil. Like, I'm going to get keys. I'm collecting items to, like, combine with other items. I'm moving statue. Like, that's something that's been missing. Know, like, moving.
You're slowly learning the layout of an area, like, of a building. You know what I mean? You're like, you start to, like, know, okay, if I turn this way, that will be down that hall. Like, it starts to, like, build in your head, like, the knowledge of the mansion or the castle.
Which becomes vital because after an event, a giant vampire lady is very angry with you, and she will occasionally chase you around.
Yeah, yeah.
So you want to know
where to run away.
What was that?
This is the lady that you see all over Twitter now.
Yes,
like everywhere.
There's her, and then like she's got like, are they sisters or something?
They're her daughters.
Yeah.
In the game, yeah, okay. She has three daughters, that are like, they act as mini bosses.
Yeah, so it's like three mini bosses, and then she is the boss of the castle, and that's like your first boss, that's your first area, and then after her, there's maybe three more areas.
Yeah, I'm not finished it, but yeah, there's like three more areas after that. There's the village, which is kind of like this open
central
area
hub
that you can explore, and you have to get certain items to advance. And I assume, and like, I'm not there yet, but there's probably like a final type area where you meet up with the queen bee of it all, not the giant vampire lady, but, this other lady that's in charge. And you're introduced to her like, you know, half hour into the game. So it's not really a spoiler.
Your hands get chopped off a lot. Do I?
Yes.
Yeah, so I had forgotten that happens in Resident Evil 7. At least, like, I am now, I don't know, I would say 75-80% of the way through the game. They still have not addressed, like, how you could just reattach your fucking hand.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I can, like... you can't. I mean, isn't that realistic?
Well, it's not just like you reattach your hand. It's there when he gets his hand chopped off, you pick it up, it becomes an item. And then when you escape that area, he then takes his hand, and it is like the most awkward looking animation of him just like sticking it back on, and then him pouring this first aid liquid on it.
It's like
and
hand then, healed. or like hand reattached. Never healed because your hands are like fucked up the whole game.
Yeah. Hand be good. Put on that hand be good.
I feel like there's an insane amount of hand trauma in this, and I feel like they thought like they had to decide.
Was it too much for you to handle?
I think they like did that though because like they, you know, that's the part of your body you see, so they felt like they had to like do all this trauma to your hands.
Yeah,
I don't know. I think it's kind of weird.
In past Resident Evil games, though, and like it doesn't work here because you're only seeing your hands. But in past Resident Evils, like when you got hurt, like your guy would visibly be hurt. Like they would limp around or they would bleed,
yeah.
And like that's how like that was your visual indicator that you needed to heal or get a healing item to heal.
Yeah.
Here it doesn't make any goddamn sense.
It's partially narrative. Like I just feel like they're like, if we're gonna hurt this guy in this, even in, you know, the narrative sense in the story, it's like we gotta do it to his hands because that's what the player is seeing. I mean, I just think it was like it's kind of a dumb thing. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, agreed.
There's like a million things to touch on, and I lost the thread of what I was just thinking of talking about his hands.
Combat's okay.
Wait, so you guys just mentioned all you can see is the hand. So aren't RE games normally third person?
Yes.
Yeah, most of them, except for the 7 and 8. Yeah. Right?
So this is first person?
Yes.
Yeah.
So yes, you're like, it is a, I wouldn't say it's a first person shooter, although you'll do a lot of shooting in this game. But yeah, it's all from first person perspective.
I don't know how you feel about it. I'm okay with it, I guess, at some point, like, because I do think this is a very good game, and I would put this probably in the top half of the series or whatever. But like, at the end of the day, if you let me choose how you make these games, they're like the Resident Evil 2 remake. Like, it's yeah, third person, and that's just how it is. Also, the other thing that sucks about when you're in first person, if you get killed, it's not as exciting as in third person, because like they would do like these awesome, like you just get like fucking, you know, your neck sliced open or something, and a bunch of blood comes out and it says you're dead. Well, you don't see that in a first person game. It's just like the screen just goes red or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, it's not as exciting getting killed. Not that I got killed very much.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I'm sorry.
Let's see, what was
I cutting out a little bit?
No.
No?
I don't think so. Were you cutting out on your end?
We just don't like talking back when you're speaking. We're silent reverently for you.
Can you not hear us, Jeff?
It just shows my connection not as well. Ooh.
Anyway.
It just shows a bad connection for me.
Oh, well, we hear you fine for right now, so hopefully it stays constant. But, yeah, I mean, I like it.
I think my connection's bad at the moment.
Okay. I don't think Jeff can really hear us. I think this is a decent game. I'm still not sold on Resident Evil in first person, but we lost Jeff.
He's gone.
Yeah.
Goodbye. He's been killed by the monsters of Resident Evil.
They finally got him. He can only see his hands. yeah, it's, yeah, as Jeff said, a lot of hand trauma. I don't know. It's a decent game. And I think some of the hyperbole around it, like where people are like really hyping this up, it's because we just haven't had a like major high profile game like this
all in year. A long time.
Like Hitman 3, maybe, like in early January.
Even Hitman 3 kind of came out with a whimper, right?
Yeah. So like this is like the biggest game that's released so far this year, and I think that might be why people are jumping on it a little bit more than they would.
Yeah, otherwise.
It's good. Jeff's back.
Sorry. I don't know. My connection was getting really, really bad. And I just disconnected and reconnected. So sorry about that.
Looks like
it's okay now.
We're holding it against you. We're chopping off your hands for this one.
You need to reconnect it and pour some water on.
At first I was like, wait, could you guys not hear me? And I'm like, maybe you guys were talking and I couldn't hear you. And I think that's what the case was.
Yeah, I think that's what happened. We could definitely hear you. Okay. You said that you would put this in like the top half of the series.
Yeah.
I probably agree with you. Only there's some bad Resident Evil games. But I'm still not 100% sold on this in first person. It's better. I think that this is more Resident Evil than 7 was.
I'll put it this way. When you're doing 7 versus 8 here, which I like calling this Resident Evil 8. I don't like calling it Resident Evil Village. I know that's like the official name, yeah, but like
Resident Evil 8.
I just feel like you take away from the fact that this is a main Resident Evil by calling it, like by them naming it that. It's just so you could get that stupid, you know, Roman numeral thing going, like, but anyway, I think, again, I have not played Resident Evil 7 since it came out. It's the only one I have not replayed, but just, I remember really liking that one, but like this, there's things about this one and some of it are things that like, I don't think you've gotten to yet that like make me like this more. Like, I know I'll remember parts of this more than 7, which I don't like. What I remember of 7 is there was a vagina monster. Like, that's kind of all, like, like that. And I remember at the end, like, there's like some boat action going on near the end, I think.
Yep, there's a boat. Yeah. There's a one of the, I can't think of their name, but one of the cannibal family. He like sets up like almost like a Saw type escape room. At one, like that's a sequence that you do. But it also doesn't, like that very much did not feel like Resident Evil. The Resident Evil stuff kind of felt shoehorned in.
Uh-huh.
Where this feels more Resident Evil. Like it is. Look, it is more intense than general like Resident Evil 2 or anything like that in terms of how it kind of conveys its story and its monsters. Like they get right up in your face. Like if you let one of those werewolves or like zombie type creatures get close, like they get on you, and you they're right on your screen.
Yeah.
But like, the characters that they have here, like the villain characters, are like super goofy.
Yeah.
Like even like Lady Dimitrescu, who is she's terrifying to me. But she is like goofy in the fact, like she's fucking nine, almost 10 feet tall.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you got this other guy Heisenberg, who is.
And why did he have to be named Heisenberg? Maybe that's a reference to like the real Heisenberg. I don't know. It's just it was distracting.
Are you
to
certain
me.
Or uncertain about his name?
Wow.
And it's like this like troll like little motherfucker. Like yeah, like they are goofy, over the top. They fit with the series, I think, more than the knockoff Texas Chainsaw Massacre family that was in Seven. I like Seven. Yeah. Seven's a good horror game.
Yeah, yeah, but yeah.
It's not a good Resident Evil game.
And it's just yeah, if you like make me choose between 7 or 8. I'm going to go with 8. Like, I like this more.
Yeah, I agree. I just wish that it didn't take 2 hours before the game actually starts. I wonder if, like, there might be a way to, like, you can skip cutscenes, but if you're trying to pay any attention to what's going on, like, you have to kind of sit through them that first time, which is a bit annoying, but...
How can I say this without, like, ruining anything, but... I really enjoy how big it goes at the end. Like it's I think a thing that people will be split on. But I think this game like swings for the fences at the end. How can I? I'm trying to say it without like there's like a way out. All right, like hopefully this is not like too bad. But like the game starts as like this creepy game in a castle that's very classic Resident Evil, and it goes just and it's like one of those movies that do like a genre switch like halfway through, like From Dusk Till Dawn. Like you think you're watching like these guys doing a robbery or whatever, like this crime film, and then it turns into a vampire film. Like right. That's kind of how I felt about the end of this. Like I think just throughout the game it keeps ratcheting up, like the area that you are in, like the factory area, and I think before
there's
that
basically fucking Terminators in that area.
Yeah, it just starts getting more and more like the area where you're just like getting closed off with a bunch of the lichens and stuff, and it's like it's very actiony, and it's very yeah. Resident Evil 4 reminiscent, you know what I mean? Whereas other areas like the castle are very reminiscent of Resident Evil 1 or 2. Like, you know, I like dug that it does that, and that it has like this escalation in terms of like what the action is. Like, if you know, it's not too spoilery to say, because like a lot of the reviews say, oh, it goes to action at the end, and I respect that. If you don't like that, that's fine. But like, I really appreciated how actiony it gets at the end. Like, I'm just like, this thing starts off so small, kind of like just a classic horror game, and it goes nuts. So like, crazy town by the end. Like, we'll be able to more specifically talk about that next week, I guess. You're gonna be done with this by like tomorrow night, probably.
Yeah, I think I'm really close. So
maybe. There's a few spoilery things I wanted to touch on with it that, you know, I know you've played, so if you're fine just touching on a few spoiler things.
If you are still playing it or haven't played it yet and you don't want to hear any spoilers, like, just fast forward a bit.
There's a very good jump scare before the second area, I think it is, where it's like you're in this little... like shack or cabin or whatever. There's like a note on a table. It says, look out the window. And I look at this note. It says, look out the window. I'm like, okay, they're going to try to like, they're going to do like a jump scare to me. On the way to the window, I notice this like a safe that's locked and I need the combination. I'm like, okay. Then I look at the window and I notice on the frame of the window, there's numbers. And if you look out the window, there's more numbers. And so I'm like, in my head putting the numbers together, and all of a sudden a fucking, like, I completely forgot about, like, I'm like, I knew there was a scare coming, but I completely forgot because I'm trying to get the safe combo, and this fucking werewolf just jumps up from below the window. I thought that was, like, it's up there with the jump scares in 1 and 2, I think. Like, it was a really good jump scare. Especially, I think at that point, it was like 2 in the morning when I was playing it. And I was like, oh, it's all, like, dark and quiet in my house. I'm like, god damn, you got me. Good job. I don't know. What did you think of that scare?
I think I fucked that one up. Like, where I went in, I looked out the window, but I wasn't, like, at that point looking for the numbers. I was, like you, I was expecting the attack. And so, like, I kind of set myself up for the attack. So I did not get the jump scare quite like that. But it's a good puzzle. Like, it is.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, here's some numbers. You kind of have to line them up in a way to reveal the combination. And two, like, it's a good area to, like, you know, surprise attack you. You're in this little shack. And then all of a sudden, like, werewolves, like, pop up from behind the window. They're climbing over the fence, and you're getting attacked there. So it's like, it's very tense because you are in this enclosed space, and they're tough. Like, they don't go down. Like, they're not slow like zombies. They move, and they also kind of, like, bob and weave a little bit as they come up.
So yeah,
you don't ever get a good grip on where they're at. So you could, like, end up, you know, firing shots and missing. So it's a well done sequence, I think.
Yeah, I think a really smartly designed jump scare, because at least for me, it's like I expected it to happen and I forgot because I was trying to solve a puzzle. Really cool puzzle, in my opinion, was the 5 bells, where
that was good. Yeah,
you're in a room, and it's another thing where there's a note or something that, like, clues you into. You got to ring these 5 bells, and you notice there's a bell in the room. You're like, okay, ring that bell. Where the fuck are the 5 other bells? And they're all reachable from this one room, but you just don't see them at first.
It took me a while to get the 5th one. It was in the chandelier, and, like, you had to.
That one was hard for me to find. Yeah. One I found very early on, and I'm sure other people, like, really struggled with, was there's a bell, like, way across the entire fucking game that you could see out the window, and you have to shoot out the window and shoot the bell over there. I'm sure there's people that were, like, stumped on that one. I somehow just saw it right away because there's, like, a staircase that leads up to where you could kind of see out the skylight, and you're like,
Yeah, it's like they're trying to point your eye towards the place at that point.
But for me, the hard one was, well, there was 2 hard ones. There was the one in the chandelier. That was the last one that I found, actually, because it's partially concealed, so you can't see, like, the bottom that it is a bell. At least that's how I kind of remember it. Like, it was just kind of hard to notice because it's on the top of a chandelier.
You kind of have to move the chandelier.
Yeah. And then there was a little tiny one, like, on top of, like, a wardrobe or something, like, just a little bell.
Yep.
Which is, like, you're looking for all the bells to be the same size, which are, you know, they're pretty big. And I'm like, oh, there's a little tiny one on top of that thing over there. And, yep, sure enough, that was one of them. There was one other spoilery thing. We touched on at the very top of this, which is, like, the second area I thought was, you know, it's one if you're not a veteran horror person. I think it's pretty creepy when this giant baby starts chasing you around this house. It's the sound of its voice, like, it's, like, crying and laughing as it's chasing you. I think it's well done. It's like a type of scare that they've done before, probably, or other games have done before, where it's just, like, just kind of a nuisance.
And you're helpless in,
because,
like, you don't have, you've lost all your weapons. You've lost all your healing items, so, like, you can't have this weird slug baby thing get you. that's a good area. The puzzles themselves were pretty standard in there, but it's a lot of, like, back and forth, like, get this item, go back to this room, plug it in and figure it out. But it's a decent tense area. There was one puzzle that I really enjoyed, and I saw somebody that I am friends with on Twitter. Like, she got to this area and basically she gave up on it. Like, she's like, oh, I got to like the area where this treasure is, but I can't get to the treasure yet. I guess I don't have what I need. And it's a really cool puzzle. It's like you have to swing this this torch around the room and it lights up.
I love torches. That. Loved it.
And the way to get the other one, though, you have to light one of these like zombie creatures on fire and get them to follow you into the other room to light the other one up. It's a great puzzle.
Wait, are you talking about the room with like the hanging thing that's on fire and then there's other ones in the room you have to light up? Or are you talking about it's completely different?
There is a second area like that.
Oh, maybe I missed it.
Yeah, so there is after you get access to the boat, like if you go back to the drawbridge, you pull the drawbridge down.
Yeah.
If you take the boat north, I think it goes to this cave, which is like a tomb. And in the tomb,
totally.
Yeah, in this tomb, like you could swing the, like it's another one of those things where you have to swing the torch around, light up the different torches in the room.
But you have to bring a flaming enemy.
Yeah, so like there's another torch that's in this other room, and you can't. Like I was like, maybe I could. Because like in past games, you had like flame grenades or whatever. So I'm like, well, maybe I picked up one of them. Nope, there are no flame grenades in this. It's flashbangs or explosive grenades. So you don't have like anything to set fire to something. I'm like, how do I do it? And I keep these zombies keep coming out of this hole and attacking me, and I keep killing them. And finally, I was just like standing there and I was like hitting the thing, and it walked into one, and I got an achievement for setting one on fire. But then I was like, they need to follow you into the room. So like when I saw that she was like struggling with it, I was like, yeah, that's nope. You have everything you need. It's there. It's just not. It's not called out. It's like you have to think through it a little bit. And it's almost like accidental that it caught on fire, for me. So
that's awesome.
And like those treasures are like worth a lot of money at the vendor. So
another cool thing that kind of touching on there is that like there are. Completely optional areas in this. It's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
There could be a little hidden, like you could miss them, which is cool. So it's like you gotta kind of, if you don't play through this game in a rush, you could definitely find some cool shit.
Yeah. And one of the things I do like is that, you know, as your map is being drawn out, you'll see the areas you're in, the rooms you're in. And if there are still items in it, it appears red. But if you have cleared everything, it shows up as blue. So, like, you know, like, oh, I don't need to explore this anymore. There's nothing else here for me. Or, oh, there's still shit over here I can get. So, like, you can kind of strategically approach, like, which rooms that you need to be exploring. And they hide some shit very well in this game, so... you're gonna want to look around.
Yep. I don't know if there's anything else you really want to touch on.
No.
I mean, there's we'll probably have to talk a little bit more about it next week, just because I want to hear your reaction to the ending.
We have to.
just the ending, Toadie.
Yeah, it will be.
I'm just kidding.
And I do want to try out the mercenary mode, which is like basically just a combat mode, right? Like
it's like an arcade mode that you unlock after. I've tried that. I've played it a little bit. I've never gotten like really into that mode. Although I guess it's been a while since it's been in the games. But I'm having fun with it, but like I can't get past the first area. You have to get like an A rating on the first, like, so the first area. It's three. The first area, you get three levels or three rounds, whatever you want to call them, like in the village. And every time I get to the end of it, I'm like, it's like, okay, this is your score. Go back to the main menu, and I'm like, is that it? I started like going on Reddit and shit. I'm like, is there more to this? And I finally found out, like, I think there's four areas like that with three levels each, and you have to get an A rating to ever unlock the next one. Which, like, I fucking kicked some ass. Like, I know, like, everything to do now in these levels. I've played them a few times. I'm, like, still just getting a B or whatever. Like, what the fuck? Like, what am I, how, I guess maybe just you gotta get higher combos by killing them in quicker succession. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's how, I mean, at least in previous Mercenaries, it's like how quickly.
But I'm doing that. I'm rolling with the shotgun, like, and I'm leveling up the shotgun. So I do not know.
I don't know. I'm going to take a look at it.
You know, oh, I think maybe I got it now because I keep stopping to pick up the treasure that they drop.
Oh, yeah, just run by. Maybe that's,
yeah, just fucking blast all these motherfuckers.
But
it's,
yeah,
fun. It's cool.
We'll come back to Resident Evil 8 a little bit next week, much to Tony's dismay. But but there are strategy games coming, Tony, so you can torture Jeff with them.
There's already strategy games out. What do you think I've been playing?
This is true. But there are. Oh, I guess there was another. There's Total War Remaster, right? Just came
That's
out.
That's right.
Yep. But Total Warhammer 3 at some point later this year. So.
Right.
Looking forward to that one too. All right. Baldur's Gate, Dark Alliance. All of us picked it up. Jeff, you were the lone holdout. You jumped at the end, which you were waiting for the
Switch
version.
Which you are now regretting.
Yeah, well done, yeah, I kind of wanted the Switch version just because I have so much to play on my Xbox right now. I don't know. I just leaned Switch for this game. And
I don't think it matters where you play it. It is a PS2 game.
Yeah. Yeah, for better and worse. You know, like I think it's an absolutely amazing game. It would have to be in my top 10 games of all time. Like, I just love it that much. And it got, like, really shitty treatment, I think, with this release. It really feels, it's one of the weirdest releases ever. It feels like they just, like, decided at the last second that they should throw this out before the new game. Like, they announced it on a Thursday, and it was out on a Friday, except, uh-oh, it's the Switch version. We're having problems posting it to the store. Like, what?
Yeah, that's kind of that weird, screams dude. We were not at all prepared to do this.
Mm-hmm. And then they just say, you know, it'll be on the Switch in a few days. Well, it's been a week now, and it's still not there. And it's like, what the fuck? And then, like, the other versions do have bugs. I know you guys haven't experienced them, but I did. Luckily, you know, in the 2 hours I played today, like, no problems. But last night, like, every 10 minutes, the sound, certain sound effects, not all of them, would just stop playing. And the only thing you could do is restart the game. Like, completely shut it down.
It's so weird. So, also, yeah. the $30 price point.
Yeah. And so, yeah, to do such a just, like, rush job and just throw it out there and then to charge that high a price is kind of, I don't know, nuts.
So we've all had experience with, you know, PlayStation 2 games or, you know, that era of games. I'm interested though because Tony, your son's playing it.
Yes.
And like it has some like old game design to it.
Yeah.
How is he taking to it?
I honestly, he thinks it looks fine. So like, but I think if he were older, he might not think it looks fine. But he's like, ooh, look, it's a, like, he loves Dungeons and Dragons, so the fact that, like, he can recognize what the creatures are is all that actually matters. So, okay. I think the, like, the graphic file people will be super upset if they've never seen this game before, but everybody else is not going to care. Like, it looks fine. It just looks
like,
fine.
During the actual gameplay, I mean, like, just the game, it looks like an older game, but during the actual gameplay, like, those graphics were so good at the time, it still looks pretty good.
It's the dialogue scenes.
Yes, the dialogue scenes look old.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's where they, like, zoom in on, like, it's, like, poorly done character models. They're not poor. They were great looking at the time. It's just like now it's like, oh, why would you do that to that character? But
I mean, this game was a real looker at the time, I think. Like, I played it on GameCube and PS2. It looked great on both of them.
It looked fine at the time. It wasn't, I wouldn't call it a looker.
I was impressed. I was blown away. I remember the water effects. As you're running through the water, the way it would ripple away from you. I was like, oh, that was like nothing I had seen before.
The water tech was huge. I mean, it looks like a pretty standard fantasy type game outside of that, but yeah, the water effects and fire effects were really good at the time. I remember that.
I think the sound on this game is still great. Like the atmosphere.
Are you complaining about the sound? Come on.
No, I mean, yeah, when it's working. first of all, just like the dungeon music when you're going through a dungeon, I think it's great. Like, it's
my son said it was creepy. He found it really creepy.
Yeah.
Which is I think good. Yeah. Maybe not so good for him, but good for me.
But just the sound, I've gone on about this game like a million times before, but like just the weight of everything, like everything sounds heavy, and like the way like when loot falls to the ground, it sounds like metal hitting the floor. Like yeah, just I thought they did a really good like job with the sound effects design in it. It still impresses me more than a lot of games.
Yeah, there's some substance to that. I did see you commenting saying that like the loot was great. It's like, is it? Like, because it's
I saw you jumping on like columns. It was super hard, and you got like 6 gold at the end.
Well, that's something I always loved about the game.
That's a lot
though.
Of work for 6 gold.
Like most of these types of games, you're like stuck to the ground. I love that you're able to jump, one, and two, that they incorporate a little bit of platforming. It's it's not a ton, but there's a little bit.
Because you have that vertical depth to it, you can like position yourself. Or like position yourself around things or near boxes, or like there was this one where this giant rat was attacking me, and it's like harder than a regular rat. Yeah, and I was like, I like pushed these boxes in, jumped over them, and then the rat couldn't jump because the rat's stupid, and then I was able to just like shoot it with my bow from the other side.
See, I tried doing that, but he was still able to get to me, like, from where I would be standing on the boxes, like, but I had to get close enough to hit him, because I didn't have a good, I'm the magic, but, like, she doesn't really have any awesome magic yet. I'm still building it up, like, so I'm still heavily relying on, swords and shit. God, I love the game, though. Like, I just like, despite that this is such a lazy release, like, it's still like awesome to be playing it again.
It's good. The only thing I wish is that like the regular enemies, that they had like some sort of health indicator, because sometimes like when you get attacked by like a mob, you can lose your health real quick. They can put a hurt on you, and I wish I knew how much like each one, so I could like specifically target them. But
yeah,
that's like Dungeons and Dragons.
You could turn on a number indicator.
Not to know how many hit points people have left.
Is that it? Yeah, like yeah. you could put on like that. I put on that number indicator, like to show you how much damage you're doing. But yeah, there's no bar above their head showing like how much health they have left. Yeah, right,
only for the bosses. Like that, then you know.
Yeah. But the one thing about this game is most of the times I've played it two players, and this game is a lot harder single player. Like, mm-hmm. You just reminded me that when you said that. Like,
yeah, it is.
You have to chip away at rooms sometimes because, like, a horde of enemies could very, like, especially early on, you have, like, really shitty armor. They could easily fucking overwhelm you, and you'll be dead in a second. Like, they touch you twice, and you're like, oh, fuck, I'm gone. But like when you play two players, as long as one person stays alive, they can run back to the save point, and then like you will spawn with full health and everything. So that was a way to get through the game. Like every time I played it, it was like just one of us has to stay alive so we can run back to the save point and we're good. Now it's like, nope, I have to chip away at this shit. Like, not go in so bold, because if I die, I'm going back to my last save.
Yeah, like that might be why, like, when I started playing it, I was like, it's a whole lot fucking harder than I remember. And I think it's every time I played it before, though, was also with friends, like, always played it with another person. So, you were able to kind of, like, you know, fiddle around with things a little bit more.
It's easy mode, apparently, because, like, this shit is fucking hard. I'm scared to get to the first boss. I'm going to clear every fucking floor. Like, I'm going to get every piece of experience I can before fighting anything or, like, going any further. You know?
And that is the other thing about it is, you know, as Tony said, it's Dungeons & Dragons, and it plays by the Dungeons & Dragons rules, so... you don't level up like you do in Diablo or Torchlight or Borderlands or any like other kind of modern RPG that has like one of these loot mechanics. Like, oh, it's feeding you that. Like, it takes a while to level up. Like, and they keep getting exponentially more. So it's like you'll be stuck there for a little bit on that level until you can kind of go. And it's not a good way to farm. Like, there doesn't seem a good way to farm experience either, so.
I mean, the best you could do is just try to hit every nook and cranny of the level. That's it. Once they're dead, like, you know.
I do like that
you're covering them. I always just love all those little touches to this, though. I don't know. Like, this is...
It's good.
I think it's, you know, partially because this is the first game like that I ever played. I think it was, like, the first real RPG I played that I liked, where I was like... Whoa, this is fucking awesome. Like, it got its that cycle got its hook in me. You basically, though, like, you're essentially leveling. Like, a big part of it is getting your better. Like, I need better armor right now because I'm fucking getting two touches, I'm fucking getting killed. You know, it's just better armors and weapons, and then, like, there's just like magic shit you add to that with your skill points. Like,
It's good stuff. I wish it wasn't $30, but we all bought it anyway. So, good news
I'll probably buy it again.
The good news is that the new Dark Alliance, which this one's Dungeons and Dragons Dark Alliance, which comes out next month, is gonna hit Game Pass day and date. So we won't have to spend the $40 on that.
Yeah, so, and I was definitely buying. I was buying that game no matter what. I don't care what reviews said. And I honestly, like, I know we have a friend that thinks it looks bad. Like, everything I've watched of it, I'm like, it looks like a fun game to me. Like, I'm excited for it. I was looking forward to it. I was for sure buying it.
It doesn't necessarily look like Dark Alliance, but it looks like a... Did you guys play those Lord of the Rings games on
PlayStation 2?
Like, where it was kind of like over the shoulder and...
Yeah.
Like that's what this looks like. And so, like, I'm okay with that, especially like those games were two player. This is four player, so and online co-op. So I'm on board.
I was on board again. Like I said, I was buying this thing no matter what.
Free. So
yeah, that's really cool. But you have another opportunity to spend on the money. Money on the series later this year, though, I think, because they said they're going to do Dark Alliance 2.
That's neat.
Wait, really? So they're going to do another, like, $30 release? Like,
no, they're... Yeah, another $30...
See, I can't see myself getting through this game.
You should get through this game.
It's going to make me not buy the second one. Like, I will try to play this game. I like this game. I think it's good. But... There's so many new games coming out, like, that I really want to play. Like, there's no way that I'm going to make it through.
If they were going to port them as is, basically, it should have been Dark Alliance 1 and 2 for $30.
Which is...
Yes, that would have made more sense.
I mean, it's not exactly what they did with Baldur's Gate 1 and 2. Like, that was a $50 release. But, like, they at least bundled them together. It's like, oh, here's Baldur's Gate 1 for $30. Here's Baldur's Gate 2 for $30. Like, I don't know. And for me, I think Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance 2 is the lesser of the two games.
I finally got to play it a couple years ago, and I agree.
So I'm like, I don't know. Craig had an issue, but we're good.
Okay.
I'm okay with them releasing, you know, whatever. But I think I'm like with Tony. Like, there's a lot of games coming out that I want to play. So.
Yeah, but you know,
there are remakes of other games to play. God damn it.
There's times you think, yeah. Oh, I'm going to be playing this game for a month. You burn through it in a weekend, and it's like, all right, well, what's next?
Yeah.
I will buy the sequel, even though I agree it's not as good. But it does have, I think, two more classes maybe instead of the three. I think there's like four or five.
Which is good. I think we can build them out a little bit more. What I would like to see is a Champions of Norrath.
Although that game takes away the fucking jump button and the platforming, which I know you guys are like, that makes it better, but I don't care, man. It's not the same.
I like, if you design around, and they do design in
Baldur's there are areas in lines, this where you get to jump across like a bunch of floating things in a row before they fall.
Like, I don't think the platforming is great, but yeah,
it's hard from that angle too. Sometimes
it adds a different element to the play. But I think Champions of Norrath is an excellent
type of
those games. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
It's not as good as Dark Alliance 1, but it's better than Dark Alliance 2.
It's just, to me, Dark Alliance 1 is like so etched in stone in my mind as like the perfect ideal of this game that like. Even if a sequel like or Champions of Norrath was pretty much equal or even better, it's like, it's just in my mind, it's like, no, well, it's not doing what Dark Alliance did. Like, you know, like, yeah. It's like so set in stone on it.
There's also something like Champions of Norrath is based on EverQuest. EverQuest not as like is not as cool as Dungeons and Dragons is.
Yeah.
Dungeons and Dragons has that. Like, everybody kind of knows it, right? Like, the monsters, you know who the monsters are. You know what a beholder is, or a kobold, or a bugbear. What the fuck are in Champions of Norrath? Like, you know what they are, but you have no actual familiarity with them because they have different names. It's a different world.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would like to see that, and I'd like to see there was a Fallout game like that as well.
Really?
Brotherhood of Steel, also by Airplay.
That was like hack and slash style?
Well, I mean, it's, you know, you could shoot guns.
Well, you could shoot stuff in the, yeah, but yeah. Like this style of game.
Yep, yeah.
Like really?
Top down. Wow. By the same studio, so.
I did not know that.
It's a neat little thing. It's not great, but it's a neat little game.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, Tony. You play anything else this week?
I did, because I played a remake too. I played Total War Rome Remastered, which was exciting. It's kind of funny, like I love the Total War series. I think that like the newest ones are the best games in the series, but my favorite is still the original Rome game. So they kind of made it's not a remake, it's a remaster, because it's really faithful to the original, but they went with all the quality of life improvements that they've done in the newer games.
Okay.
So stuff like, it would be in the early, like if you were fighting in a forest, like it's really hard to see stuff in the forest. And it would be really hard to fight battles if you were actually fighting in trees. Like, the trees would literally get in the way of the camera. You couldn't see where any of the troops are. It was really super annoying. But in the newer games, they added this, like, command level where you could, like, zoom all the way out. And you wouldn't be looking at your troops on the battlefield. You'd be looking at, like, unit symbols. So you could, like, give your units orders and make them go in certain directions. So you could actually see where they are and what they were doing.
Just and moving like, pieces around on a board from like super high up.
Exactly. So you could actually like control what your troops are doing and like actually see them out. And they added it back into this game, which makes it infinitely more playable in situations it wasn't playable before. Like there were factions that I avoided completely because they would fight in the forest too much. It was just annoying to fight in the forest. But it's kind of nice to see this game come back. There were things about it that I really liked that they kind of eliminated in later games. Like in like the newer games, you build armies and you like build individual units into the armies. In Rome Total War, the building block of everything is just the individual unit. And you can like literally move the individual units around on the map. So like if you have a really advanced city in the back that can build really advanced units, you can take those units and build them there and then move them up to your armies at the front. Whereas in the newer Total War games, your army literally has to be sitting in the region where that unit can be built in order to have them in the army. So you kind of miss that whole like logistical train thing that you'd have going on where you get awesome cities in the back that could literally build any type of unit that you wanted. But in the newer games, you can't have those units unless you're in the right spot. So it's kind of like why have you moved away from this? It's fun to go back and like now you can see everything in like 4K. They've like redone all the and they didn't just like upgrade the visuals, like the units actually look better.
Okay,
The,
so
they they re
yeah, I was
they
gonna
actually
ask,
rebuilt it in the new
like,
engine.
is it just up-rezzed, or is it like they
No,
actually
it's
kind of
not
did the
just
model?
up-res. Like, so they don't look all blocky. It's not like how they keep upgrading Skyrim,
Got it.
where now if you look at it just looks like shit. It's like, oh, it's Skyrim in 4K and it looks terrible. It looks absolutely. This actually looks great in 4K. It looks
Hey,
like a Total War game should look.
Baldur's Gate in 4K. You're playing that in 4K, baby.
Yeah,
That's right.
that's.
That game looks terrible.
That's what I was asking.
Hey, don't
That's
go that far.
mostly what I was asking, because like
Yeah,
a.
it's kind of like they rebuilt this game in order to look better. They didn't do that with Baldur's
Justify
Gate.
the price.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of amusing to me that like my two favorite games of all time are Mass Effect 2 and Rome Total War, and I get like remasters of both in the span of 2 weeks.
I feel very blessed with the games lately too, but it's like it's so weird because it was such a dry first half of the year, and it's like boom, boom, boom. Here's
So
some of your
much
favorites.
now. So
Yeah.
much.
Like I love Mass Effect 2, so like I have that pre-ordered, and you know,
Yeah.
got Resident Evil last week. Like it's just like what the hell? Like
Well, it's also funny, like
Baldur's Gate out of nowhere.
Jeff, I always envy your nostalgia. Like I don't have it for most things. I absolutely don't. I don't care. I think games are better now than they've always been. I go back and try to play old stuff and it never feels right. But now I'm finally getting two of the games that I always loved and they're back and it feels good. It actually feels nice.
Tony finally gets it. Like,
Only took me 39 years, Jeff, but here I am. I'm ready to understand this.
yeah, this month's good for games, although I guess your Rome Total War came out at the end of April, but it
Yeah,
just,
but
yeah,
it
late
took me a
April,
while. Yeah.
all of a sudden it like took off, like. But like it was like before that, I think I bought like as far as a new $60 game, like Hitman,
Hitman was
maybe.
the only other one I bought
Yeah,
this year.
and that's good. It was a good game. Like it's a good way to kick off the year. But then you went from January to late April with I was just playing Rocket League and shit. Like I really wasn't keeping up with it. I didn't play Outriders or anything. Like everything sounded bad to me. So this is
Outrider
like all of a sudden
sucks,
I'm
yeah.
like, games are back, baby. I love games again.
Yeah, but like May has me excited. Like, you know, we got Resident Evil, Mass Effect this week, Biomutant on the 25th. Like that looks fun. And then it continues into June with you know, new Baldur's Gate, Dark Alliance, new Dark Alliance, not Baldur's Gate, Dark Alliance, but new Dark Alliance. And then well, Tony and I we have Ratchet.
That's
When does
right.
that come out?
The 11th.
The 11th. Okay. Yeah, the thing is, like June, I think is a really like got like two games I think are perfect summer games that I'm so excited for, but they're late June. It's like, you know, Mario Golf and Dark Alliance. Like I
Oh
think those are just
yeah,
like
I forgot Mario Golf, man. It's
yeah.
games are
June is
back.
cool. June is like, you know, a lot of times the summer is like this pretty dead zone, especially June. This June, I'm like, it's just to me though, it's like almost basically July when those games come out. So most of June is going to be me, I don't know what, trying to play through Mass Effect and Biomutant probably.
I mean, that's four games right there. So
yeah.
I think you'll have plenty to do. Anything else on Total War, Tony?
It's just awesome if you want to play a Total War game. It's cheap. It was $15 at launch for me because I owned the original, which they've given away for free so many times. If you are like on Humble Bundle or anything, you probably own it already.
And they actually did work to it, which is nice.
They actually did work, and it was good work.
I wish Baldur's Gate fans were so spoiled. But hey, right. I never expected to see Baldur's Gate. Honestly, I did not expect it. So,
yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna.
I guess I'll take it.
Not gonna criticize them on that.
Yeah.
And let's see. The other thing, Tony and I played more of Zombie Army 4.
Yes.
That game's really
I'm enjoying fun, that but, game. Yeah. It's fun.
Game of the Year material.
No.
Or game like would be on your list.
It's a solid co-op game. I don't think it's even eligible to be on our list, right? It didn't come out this year.
Technically came out last year, but yeah.
I thought it was like a Game Pass release type thing, like day one thing.
No, it came out early last year, but it hit Game Pass a couple weeks ago, and it's good. Like it's fun. Like it hits that like Left 4 Dead type vibe.
Yeah.
And it actually has way more to do than Left 4 Dead in it. Like, there's like 11 campaign missions. There's five or six horde type missions, which are, I think, are better than Call of Duty Zombies. It's like you basically they throw like 12 waves at you, and then you can escape, which we did this time.
Yeah, that's right. We actually made it out. We made it out alive.
Got an achievement for that. For each of the levels you beat, you get an achievement.
I like that it's 12 rounds. Perfect.
Yeah, it's not like it's
like that. Like this super like 2 hour commitment.
Yeah, like that's the problem with Gears, right? Is like Gears Horde mode in Gears is fucking awesome.
It's fun. It's fun. Yeah, but it's like, you know, I gotta be in the mood, like, because that's what I'm doing that night. You know, right?
Yep. That's 4 hours of that.
Yeah. Which they did do a good job, because that what we started playing when we were playing Gears,
the
5,
short version, yeah, right?
There's like the accelerated mode, which is only it's like half as long, but you get boss battles every 5 rounds. And it doesn't take 4 hours to complete. But yeah, Zombie Army 4, we played for about 2 hours. We completed a whole campaign mission, and we did a whole horde level. So
yeah.
And there's persistent leveling, right? So like you're like always upgrading your character, getting new perks, and then there's these items that. Basically, we just let Walt run around and find him for us.
That's right. But... find him. I don't even look. I'm like, he's like, oh, I got the hand. Good job, Walt. Good job.
I'm not looking for it, but if you find it, I will come collect it.
Upgrade kit. Sweet.
And then we let Earl just light everything on fire. So
that's right.
But yeah, it's, you know, with Game Pass, excellent game. So, Jeff, you play anything else?
Just Pokemon Snap. I played that as well.
Yeah. Can you tell us about Pokemon. Pokemon Snap.
It's, you know, a sequel to Pokemon Snap from the N64.
Yeah.
I think it's like 22 years ago. It's, you know, that game. If you imagine that game done today, that's pretty much what the new one is. Like, it's. I don't know. I personally really like the original Pokemon Snap. It's the first Pokemon game I've ever played, and I prefer it to the real Pokemon games. I just think, first off, there's not many that I know of photography games, and I think that's like a really cool mini genre there. Like, I like taking pictures and shit, like with my phone or whatever. Like, I don't fancy myself a photographer, but. You know, taking pictures is fun. To me, it's appealing anyways.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, this is like a whole game built around that. And really, like, The only other thing I can think of is, like, in Dead Rising, you kind of had, like, a mechanic like that in it, where you could take pictures of the zombies, and they would score, like, how your picture was. But this is, like, a whole game built around that, and I really dig it. Like, my brother-in-law was, like, asking me if he should get it for my nephew. Like, you know, you think this would be a good game for him? Like, I think he's, like, six or... he's like, do you think it'd be too hard for him? I'm like, I don't know. I don't think so. Like,
I don't think so. My son is, like, he's really into bird watching and loves Pokemon.
Yeah.
This is, like, the ultimate thing for him. It's just, like, walking around looking at Pokemon.
It's
awesome.
Like, the levels are a ride. So you're just, like, sitting in a ride and looking around. Like, so, like, you're going to the end of the level no matter what. You know what I mean? Like,
you're gonna finish. You're gonna be fine.
Yeah, it's and, you know, just if to me it's like, I think there's people who, like, the idea of taking pictures and a game built around that would not be fun, but to me I think it's, like, really fun, and I think it's neat. Like, it's cool to show kids that, like, games could be other things than just, like, shooting or whatever. You know, like,
yeah.
I don't know. I just really dig it. I love these games. I don't know what to say about, like, you know, you're graded on how good your photos are. That's basically what the game is. And it's longer than the original, for sure. Like, I think there's 12 total areas, but most areas, like, have a day and night version of the level where different things happen. And it's got a little bit of, like, a hook to it, too. Like, the more you play the levels, you could level up the levels, and then Pokemon get more curious or more familiar with you. New Pokemon will show up. So, like, the levels themselves, the more you play them, will evolve. So even though it's, like, a shorter game, like, you'll get at least, like, probably 10 to 15 hours out of it, you know?
That's pretty good.
So, Tony, you're playing Pokemon Snap, or are you just watching
I'm just watching him play. Yeah.
I think it's a great game. Chris, like, have you ever played these games, or, like, you ever played the original?
I did not.
Does it sound boring to you?
It's like, I'd probably actually really like it. It just sounds so dumb.
There is a gameplay, like, loop, like, hook to it. Like, I was just kind of trying to explain it, you know what I mean? Like, the better you do in a level, like, the more interesting the level gets when you go back to ride through it again. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, like, I don't know if that sounds, like, kind of interesting to you at all. It's neat. It's cool. Like, and it's just like, again, I don't know too many games that are, like, that's the focus of the game is to take pictures. There might be other ones out there that I don't know, but, loved it.
I'm going to add it to my wish list on the Switch and, like,
hope it ever goes on sale.
Yeah, if it, like, I mean, it'll never go on sale for more than, like, $20 off, but
yeah,
I don't know.
It should be $40. It should be, in my opinion. But, like, again, I got the same amount of hours out of it that I got out of Resident Evil.
Yeah,
but, like, it just kind of goes to, like, my thing with Resident Evil, where, like, my time with Pokemon felt very short, and I might have played it more than Resident Evil, but it just felt like. Like this thing that I burned through, like this candy that I just ate real quick. Whereas Resident Evil, I felt like it was like a full meal, even though it's like 9 hour. For me, it was a 9 hour game, and you can beat it. Did you look through the achievements on Resident Evil?
Like, I've glanced at them.
There's one for beat the game in 3 hours. I'm like, I will never ever get that.
Yeah, I've never been able to speedrun those games. They take a certain level. I did see this mutual friend of mine in Earl's. She completed it in 2 hours and 44 minutes on the hardest difficulty.
Javi did I don't know what difficulty, but he did. He got the achievement 2 hours something. I'm like, what?
Yeah, it just takes like a stupid amount of like.
That's like a speedrun time. That's not like I'm sticking to the main path time. That's right. Like you just, know what you have to do.
Exactly. Like you don't do that on your first playthrough or even your second playthrough. Like that's a I've learned everything I need to know, and I know exactly where to get this item. Like, you aren't fighting enemies.
You're just cut out the fat. Yeah, yeah. So, anyways, I don't know how we got to that tangent. But.
Yeah, I will maybe look at Pokemon Snap. If it eventually goes on sale, I will add it to my wishlist. Yeah, I know the chances of that happening are very slim, but...
I'm sure there will be, like, at some point in the year, like, even if it's Black Friday, where it's, like, $39.99. It should have been that price, in my opinion, just because, like... Even though it is a full game, but it just feels like a game that was not super hard to design. Maybe I'm, like, wrong, because I don't know how game design is. But it's like, you know what I mean? Like, you're just, like, you're building this little track for someone to go through and take pictures. Like, that's a $60 game? I don't know. But it's a great game. Like, I have no regrets buying it at all. But, like, it just, yeah, 40 feels right for it.
All right. That's everything we've been playing. I tried to look at news, and there wasn't much. We already touched on the Dark Alliance is coming to Game Pass. The only other thing that I really see here is that Sony is finally releasing some different color controllers.
Release some systems, you bitches!
Yeah, bad news for you on that one, Jeff. They said that they expect shortages to last into 2022.
Well, here's the thing, is I stopped looking for the system because I don't care. I like my Xbox. I'm totally satisfied between my Xbox and my Switch. I'm good. I will maybe get it one day.
Well, you better be, because you can't get...
Yeah.
I just look at mine over there. I'm glad you're there. Hi.
Yeah, I mean...
Really, though, like, I always regret buying them. To be honest, I always regret buying their system.
Honestly, I regret buying it. Like, I think that's money I could have spent on other stuff, because I do not play it.
I'm mostly with you on that, other than, like, you know, a game in one of my favorite series is coming out next month, so...
Right. That's like that. That's just it. Like, you get it for the for the exclusives. There just haven't been any yet.
Yeah.
But for, like, you know, that, and, like, to me, a lot of the Sony exclusives are, like, not totally my jam, but, like, Demon Souls, that would be one for me, you know, for sure. I mean, I'm not saying that their exclusives are bad, but they're starting to become... They're starting to get this, like, homogenous feel to them where it's, like, this super cinematic blockbuster thing that they do. Like, I don't know. Like,
look at the climbing sequence. Oh, my God.
Like, that's kind of...
exclusive before. Never.
You know, God of War and Uncharted, and they're all kind of starting to feel the same a little bit.
Right. They literally put that... It's Uncharted, God of War. Like, it's in all of them now.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, oh, it's... what's the one with... the chick who shoots the arrows, the
Horizon Zero Dawn.
Like, you're like climbing around. I'm like, what am I doing here?
They're always like these, like, big cinematic, like,
like one of the base things you do in Ghost of Tsushima. Like, you're literally like another climbing game. Great.
You know what I think is interesting is something that is different. It's an exclusive. I don't know if, like, it's a Sony game, but Returnal sounds different to me. Like,
yep, it's a Sony game.
Like, that is, like, they're not trying to do a big, like, 20-hour whatever, like, cinematic fucking jumping from buildings and shit game. Like, it looks like a new idea. It looks cool. Like, I look at videos of Returnal and I'm like, God, I would love to play it, but I would never spend. I don't think I would spend $70 on it.
That's where I'm at. Like, well,
I would probably only get to the first or second boss. Like, I'm sorry. I do love roguelike games, but, like, I don't beat them usually. Like,
and, like, I play a lot, but a game that you need to play in one sitting, that, like, to beat it, I think Javi said it was a 5-hour run.
Yeah, like, I don't like that.
Like, I play a lot of games. I play a lot of time, but 5 hours for one, like, to sit down and play for 5 hours straight that's a long time.
Yeah, I'm just so intrigued. Like, just, I don't know, watching videos of, like, oh, it looks cool. It looks like a really cool looking game, but, like, the thought, like, conceptually of what you have to do to play it, I'm like, ah.
That's one I hope to try later on down the line.
Yeah, $30. Yep. You know?
And the good news is, like, that game came out, what, in April? So, you know, by November, by Black Friday, it will be one of those $30 games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's when I'll try that. Yeah, other than that, not much news going on. Mass Effect should be releasing in about a half hour for us. So
yeah, I have it installed. I'm just waiting for it to be ready.
Are you playing tonight?
I don't know. Midnight's normally a little late. Like, I feel like if I play games at night, I don't sleep well. But then again, it's Mass Effect, so it might be worth it.
The thing is, with like a game like that, though, it takes a while to start off usually. Like,
yeah.
I haven't played the first one in a long time, but it's an RPG, so you have to design the character. I'm sure there's some fucking cutscenes. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Next thing you know,
but and it's open 2 a.m. and you've made your character. So, so good.
To Mass Effect 1?
Yes.
Cool. Like, it's been one of those so things long,
you don't want to rush through, so you might be better off waiting.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna hold off until I have some time. Probably won't play it tomorrow either, but this weekend, jumping into it.
Oh, all over it.
Three games. I'm hoping that the character you create in Mass Effect, like, so that was one of the problems, right? Is like they changed the character models in two, so
yeah.
the character you brought, like, you weren't able to actually bring over your full character. You bring over the choices, but.
Right.
I'm hoping I don't have to create a new character for all three games.
Would you have to like redesign from scratch, or would they give you like an approximation?
I could be wrong on this, but I feel that they gave you like an approximation of what your character looked like, and it
but, like,
didn't
it would
look
be
like
off.
That.
Yeah. I don't think I ever. I think I played those games. Like, I played all three of them. I owned them and everything, and I had the saves. But I would always say, like, give me the default, weirdly enough, because I didn't remember what the fuck I did. I just wanted to see what their main path type thing was. So it's going to be interesting to play them back to back. Like, I've never done that.
It's a lot of Mass Effect.
It is.
Yeah, we can handle it. It's fun.
They're good games.
Yeah.
I wonder what the chances are I make it all the way to the end. I wonder. Like, even having, like...
I would not play them. I think
the first game, yes, I will make it to the end of the first game because it's been like, what, probably
over a decade,
13 years since I actually played through it all.
Yeah.
But the other games, like, I have more of a memory of.
Two is your favorite game of all time. You got.
Yeah, I know. I think once I'll probably make it through two, and the funny thing is three, I never played through all the added content that they tossed in there.
I never looked at like they like redid the ending and shit.
They redid the ending, but they also added a bunch of other stuff like before that happened. I didn't play any of that stuff.
Yeah, like with Citadel and Omega and all that other
shit.
I didn't play any of that, so that would be neat because like they just incorporated it into the game, right? Like it wasn't it's just in the game, so that'll be neat.
So that stuff's all going to be in there.
Yeah. I think they're only missing like one little piece of DLC because it wasn't like they didn't save it properly or it wasn't like it was done by like a outside studio and they don't have the data for it anymore.
It's crazy, but whatever.
Yeah.
So it's Yeah, Mass Effect was 2007.
Yeah. Because I played through that game at least twice, like the original.
I think I only played it once. The only one I really remember pretty well, kind of, is 2, which I played through probably four times at least.
Yeah, I definitely played one I've replayed several times, yeah.
For a reason. 2 is very, very good.
Yes.
But, we'll have that. We'll have my final thoughts on Resident Evil 8. And Earl will be back. So we'll have thoughts from him on some stuff. I think that's it. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.